Here's a little something you may remember from the good old days.
I feel so old.
You're old.
You're so old.
I'm so old.
So old.
We're so old.
You're old.
You're old.
Time for senior moments. Time for the preseason finale coming up in a day or so. Ryan Sexton, senior writer John Osier, senior fool Joe Fortunato.
Oh, that's just wrong.
Hanging with us.
Let me interrupt you, Brian. Yeah. I am ready for Thursday. I'm ready, enthusiastic, and ready to go.
Joe, nod. Are you?
No.
So Joe's not ready. Joe wants more preseason.
Preseason four is tough.
It is tough.
It's a tough week. It's a disjointed week because the reason I said that, obviously sarcastic, preseason week four is not the time to watch the stars. You're watching things in this game that are about what the front office wants to watch. It's important for them, even though people say it's not, but it's important for them for evaluation for the last eight or nine slots on the roster. It matters on that level. To the fans, for aesthetic purposes, it's tough.
So how do you approach it? See, if this was back in the day when this was a good team, you didn't want anyone to play in the preseason finale.
Right.
Series, maybe you'd get a couple things going. But for a team with some issues, offensive line at the top of the list, quarterback, obviously, I mean, you kind of want these guys to play a little bit, don't you?
Not me.
What are you protecting?
I don't think they're going to.
Okay.
B, what you're protecting is, if you believe your best chance to win is with Bortles, you still don't want to get him hurt. I don't know that Bortles is going to get a whole lot better with a series against the Falcons twos than he is without a series against
the
Falcons
twos. All right, I'll buy that for those key guys. But How about the offensive line? I mean, maybe you sit Brandon Linder, but no one else in the offensive line has played so well that you say, well, I'll sit them all.
No,
they're
but
ready
I bet
to go.
They do. I bet they – I mean, I think you might see the two left guards, Boenko and Amame, play it out.
A.J. Can?
I doubt he plays. I mean, I could be wrong on that because he did not play well the other night. But I just don't get the feeling there. You know, the MO is that you feel like you can get more out of practice around that game in a more environment where you're creating what you want to see than you are against another team's twos, who are all a bunch of guys probably desperate to make the roster, increases injury risk, the whole thing. I don't know if I agree with that, but I sense that'll be the approach. And
so.
But we'll be watching.
You're basically responding to the fact that the Falcons are not going to play their guys, so why take a chance?
Yeah.
And I understand
that. What are you going to gain from perhaps three plays, if you're three and out, or five plays against your entire body of work during the practice, training camp? And fans sometimes don't get that because, for the most part, all they see are those preseason games. Coaches have an entire offseason. Training camp practices that they're evaluating. So to them, for the starters, that's such a small sample size that there's a feeling of, is it really worth the risk?
I guess. I'd put A.J. Can in there and make him play. I thought I was watching the reincarnation of Mike Brewster.
It was tough.
I mean, that was – and for a guy that – I mean, Brewster came in as an undrafted rookie, and he was all they had. But this was a guy who played pretty well 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a guy – I think to me he maybe is emblematic of the entire situation here. Because you look at Blake, and he goes out to San Diego, and you say, well, he should come back better. And you look at the way that Can played 2 years ago, and you say, all right, well, you know, I mean, you got Pat Flaherty here, who's the top offensive line coach, and with Doug Marrone, he should play better. Your right guard spot should be fine, which is the danger sign to everybody. Hey, don't get so comfortable and think you know what's going to happen. Because
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have told you before the preseason began that we were going to see that
right.
against Carolina from A.J.
And it makes you wonder, you know, is Earl Watford, if he gets healthy, sign him as a free agent, not a top-tier guy, but is he a guy that you eventually say, okay, we're going to give A.J. a certain amount of time? I think A.J. makes a roster, but we're going to give him a certain amount of time. But, hey, this is not a done deal. And we're going to keep looking for ways to get this better because it needed to be better than it was the other night. That was not good.
I should clarify. For those of you who are listening who don't remember Mike Brewster, because it was a flash in the pan, he started training camp as the starting center and was mm-hmm. cut before the start of the regular season.
Yeah,
I don't think AJ gets cut, but I mean, rare in this league do you go from the starting lineup to the bench.
Right.
I mean, generally, you go off the roster, they replace you, they move on. But so, yeah, Earl Watford, please.
We'll see.
Let's see what you got.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, I think he has to make the roster because yeah, the guys that you were counting on
hasn't played and hasn't practiced very much. So it's one of those things where you feel a sense of urgency because you want to see him, but you also can't be dumb. He's trying to come back from an injury, and it's tough to force it out because then you're not seeing his best.
I don't want an evaluation from you, so I'm not going to throw.
You're not going to get one,
right? All right. What do you think? There's offensive linemen who either are at this moment, you know, being shopped, being cut, who will be cut, who will be on the waiver wire. What's your approach to this offensive line? Can you make it better in the days after the preseason finale?
Well,
besides them improving themselves,
I think you have to try. And I answered an Ozone question about this in the last couple of days. You have to try, and you have to study every guy who's out there. At the same time, I don't think you can go blind faith in that direction and assume that just because you bring in somebody's cast off who you've heard of, that he's going to be better than what you have. So you have to – there's no question that as poorly as the offensive line has played – at times during preseason, that you have to test it. I guess the question is, you're probably not looking to upgrade realistically tackle or center because those guys have played okay. I don't think you're going to find anybody better than Parnell and Cam Robinson.
Right.
Brandon Leonard is obviously Brandon Leonard. He's going to start. Are you going to find somebody better than A.J. Cann out there, or is it a case where say A.J. Cann gets released tomorrow? Which I don't think he will, but he does. There'll be five teams try to sign him, and there'll be five fan bases looking at, hey, third round guard who started 31 games, and they'll be excited. Well, so you're probably getting that version from anywhere else,
right?
And that's the dilemma. But again, you can't. Maybe it's a better fit. Sometimes that happens, that a guy just fits what you're doing a little better, like. So I definitely think they'll try, but I don't think you should think that the answer is automatically going to come walking in the door on September 1st. Usually doesn't happen.
Rare is the Ben Coleman, and you alluded to that on Saturday, who comes in here in 1995 and is a key member of your club for 5 years.
Yeah.
Now, you're not going to find that. Yeah. But
there was a little bit of Benny, though, remember, of personality conflict with Buddy Ryan, as I recall, and that he had Benny had started, and consensus was he played at a pretty okay level and did some things well that they knew would fit here, and that he just wasn't a grinder, so Buddy didn't, you know.
Right. Yes, to bring him to Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, but a little more of – yeah, but it worked. So
it did.
I do think Tom's personality type is a little more – if I don't see what I like right now, I want to go get something that I like right now. In the last 3 or 4 years, Dave Caldwell certainly was more, let's develop what we've got because what's around him and the environment, he'll improve within that. When you're talking about the bottom of the roster, it's usually six one way, half dozen the other. It's usually not that big of a difference.
Right.
But I do think you'll see a bottom of the roster churn this weekend. I'd say five players.
You know, well, that's a significant number.
Yep.
What did they bring in? Seven or eight a few years ago? Gus and Dave's first year, Clay Harbor came in that group.
The reason I say that is there's some positions. You wonder about defensive tackle behind Avery Jones. Stephon Charles, I think they like. But that's a position where you can come in without knowing scheme, adjust, and get in there pretty well pretty quickly. Offensive line, you'd be surprised if they don't at least try to sign a couple of guys. You know, their backups – but could they be better than that? That's three. Tight end, maybe.
Because Michael Rivera hasn't played a practice
and
since July.
I think they would love for Rivera to be what they think he is or thought he was, but how do you know?
You have no clue.
So that's four. And then I think you got linebacker
they signed Akeem Dent earlier this week. Does that take that off the list?
And it may be that we look back and have to say, well, Akeem Dent is sort of one of those five.
Right.
Yeah. So that could preclude that because they've signed. It looks like he'll be on the team. But you also got a couple of cornerback positions. I'm not sure past third cornerback. Tyler Patman got some praise from Doug, and he has made plays and looked good. But is he – if there's two guys out there that there's familiarity with, say Perry Fuel knows a guy or Todd Walsh. If somebody knows a guy from another system, I don't know that any beyond the top three at corner are immune to that sort of, well, I like this. I've seen this before. Let's get this.
Yeah. Well,
that's nothing against Tyler Patman. I just think there are.
Well, no, she struggled against the Buccaneers. And lots of guys struggle against Mike Evans. But you had, right. I mean, you had two frontline guys. You had DeSean Jackson and Mike Evans. And you're going to have to play against those kinds of guys on Sunday afternoons.
Right.
And he didn't fare well.
Some of this is numbers, too, obviously. Everybody wants to cut the roster at the end of the season. There are always situations where you want to answer the question, how many will they keep at wide receiver? And you want to be able to say six or seven or five. Well, sometimes what happens is you need another position that's hurt. So you keep one guy there knowing that as of week three in the season,
you go find your guy.
You're probably going to go back and get one of these guys and really carry seven, but you're carrying six at the time of the 53. That's a little football 101 roster mechanics. Pretty boring, but that's usually what happens.
So how about we wrap it up with the quarterback? Normally, we've started senior moments.
Sure.
Quarterback, wrap it up. Blake's the starter. Doug said yesterday, and we should tell people, this is Tuesday that we're taping this. Doug said Monday that he thought that he had played pretty well, that Blake had responded pretty well. And I thought, in the limited time that I've been able to watch, because practice is only open for 20 minutes to the media, that he was throwing the
ball
well.
You're pretty good. You can see a lot during that time that other people can't.
If you're pointed towards the field, you generally see more than if you're standing there and kibitzing.
And if you're not. So
right.
Yeah.
And you, by the way, cut me off sharply yesterday because I interrupted you. You were pointed at the field and you were taking notes on who was in, and you're like, yeah, hold on a sec. And I went, John's actually working here.
Oh, but I fell down right after that, so I didn't really count.
Right. But so your thoughts, again, it's a very small sample size. It appears to some degree that he's been sharp this week.
Here's the hope. And you have to stretch because hope is a very
hopeful thing.
Small thing compared to 45 games that we've seen. So this is all just radio, senior moments, fodder to talk about. But Blake, in the last 2 weeks, for the first time in his NFL career, has seen and felt what it's like when the worst happens. He didn't lose the job, but he had his hold on the job that he's always had taken away. So really, if you look around the league realistically, 32 front offices right now, very few people in the NFL look at Blake Bortles as a potential franchise quarterback. If he were to get released, he would sign somewhere, but it would be as a second guy, maybe even a third guy, with a come in this offseason. We believe you have potential, but it's going to take a while. That developmental guy we've all seen. Blaine Gabbert went and did it when he was that guy. He would be that. So from a perception point of view around the league, I think it's fair to say that he is no longer considered an elite franchise quarterback, or very few. So what's the worst that could happen to him at this point? He's got a second chance.
Sure.
And I'm not saying that to downgrade Blake Bortles or to tell him he's not. But from his perspective, if he hadn't gotten the job back, Brian, he would be in this situation probably going into next year where he is a take-a-chance-on-somebody guy.
Right.
Well, when you're a take-a-chance-on-somebody guy, it sometimes takes you a while to ever get that chance. He's got the chance.
Right now. John, if he...
Don't worry about it. Go play, Blake.
If he didn't,
you got nothing to lose, baby.
If he didn't get the second chance, he could be sitting there on Friday wondering if the phone's going to ring and if he's being released.
Right.
That's a legitimate concern.
So that's what I'm saying.
You got nothing to lose now. All the pressure's off.
You had the impression during training camp that beyond everything else, there was some tightness.
There's tentativeness.
Right. I don't want to read the kid's mind because I like the kid. But in that situation, I think it's only human nature that everything being tweeted about you, every move you make analyzed, you have the pressure of this is my career, this is... Well, maybe his best approach is to say, well, you know what? Nobody thinks I'm any good. I was not going to get a job starting and now all of a sudden, he's got an opportunity. Relax and go play. Does that make him good? I don't know. But from his perspective, that's the impression. I mean, if I was sports psychologist guy,
right,
that's what I would tell him to do.
So it's hitting the reset button for him. He's getting the second chance with his team.
Within a week.
Yep. And he knows it. So
breathe easy. Go play.
I was impressed with the way he handled himself.
Yeah,
he left the locker room that night after the Bucks game and came back.
Right.
Now he had to have a phone call with some. You know, come on, you got to do this. But he came back and he stood there and he answered every question.
Right.
Then he said the right things and he did the right things in the 9-day period until he was renamed the starter.
Right.
And then he came down on Saturday and spoke to the press and he said, and this is the part that hit me, because I'd want my sons to handle it the same way. And that is, I didn't want anyone to see that I was upset. I didn't want anyone to see that I was rattled or anyone to say, hey, he's pouting about this.
Right.
I just came in and handled my business and did it the right way. Man, his parents should be proud because that's exactly what a father and a mother want their son to be.
And
I don't know what that means.
It's easy to say, Brian. I mean,
but he felt it. You could see it.
The cynics hear what you just said and say, well, anybody would do that.
No, not anybody would do that. I've seen it not
be
anybody.
We've all seen quarterbacks pout.
Sure.
You know, and
player of every position who wouldn't do it that way.
Right. So credit him for that. Again, I've always said I love the guy's intangibles, all that stuff.
Well, when a guy makes a decision like that, John, to handle it the right way, it shows a clarity of purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It shows a maturity level that I don't know that we've always seen from him.
Right.
Now, I'm not pinning my hopes and saying, well, because he handled it right means he's going to come out here and handle this opportunity right. But I can see where he's handled it right. Maybe he's learned something and maybe his approach will change heading into the season.
Again, I'll say what I've said all along. There's sometimes when we talked about Blake all off season, there was this, is he going to be bad Blake, which everybody said he was last year. I didn't think he was very good last year. Or can he be a franchise quarterback, which is, you're really talking about Z to A. Well, maybe he can get to, you know, L and be the, you know, and I'm talking alphabetization here.
Backwards.
Not a word.
Yeah.
Right. But what they need from him is to get back to what he could be in the last two games of last season. No mistakes. Some good stretches. He wasn't that in training camp. If all of what we're talking about can get him back there, maybe that's your starting point.
I sure hope he listens to this podcast.
So he can learn the word alphabetation?
So that he can learn what his approach should be. But maybe he's already got it based on what he said last week. We'll see. I'm listening, and I'm enjoying it.
Good deal.
So, for Joe and John, thanks for listening to Senior Moments. We're back next week to talk about the start of the regular season.